What's up, everybody? Welcome to today's episode of the Comeback Couples Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Jensen, with my lovely wife,
Kendra Jennison.
We're keeping it homey.
Nice with and my cozy. Homie.
Keeping it homey with my homie. Like that one I heard Ryan. I've been waiting to say that the whole time.
You guys just nailed that.
That's just it. So actually, I'd like to invite you guys into my house. This is my couch. This is like cribs. This is where Kendra sits, dressed like this every day. Never. She sits wearing a jacket like this. Every day.
Me.
just keeping it real in here. So for you guys out there to say that a lot of people say, hey, we love how authentic they are. She showed up really authentic today.
If this was true authentic, I would be in sweatpants, hair in a pony, and a sweatshirt.
Yeah, but you know, like truth is this. So I came home, I walked in the door. I'm like, damn, my wife's hot. Like, not that when you walk in, I see you wearing my shirt and my pants.
But I'm like,
yeah, y'all.
Just damn, you're so hot.
You're so hot. Look a little Merle Haggard over here. But, hey, I love you, baby. So there's a couple things I want to talk about. We're going to do things just a little bit different here today. I'm going to try to do some, well, we won't call it trickery, right? But we're going to do some marketing without you really knowing what's going on. Brian didn't know, but I'm actually going to lead us down a series of questions and events because I'm just going to be upfront and authentic since that's really what we're about. We are offering a new, I don't want to say a new offer, right? Like the, I am a comeback coaching business. I'm sorry. The, I am a comeback offer. Which is we help businessmen and executives get control of their drinking in 45 days or less, confidentially at home, right? That's the offer. But after that, this is why we're doing all this marketing. It's actually finally coming to fruition. So we're actually creating the second offer, which is basically to get paid and get laid, which is what I like to do. But I'm going to lead you down a series of questions that you don't even know are coming up. Not bad, not good, but we're going to try that out and see what happens. However, you brought up the topic today that you wanted to talk about, which was alcohol in relationships, right? But before we get into that, I like to share a moment. One of these things I'm doing in all my calls, I'm coming up with like quotes. Today's quote was something about, I can't remember, I'll probably butcher it, but we did a call on triggers and the biggest trigger is an identity, right? It was a label. The biggest trigger you could have is a label. And for me, that was, I don't love labels in my life. Right. When I decided to quit drinking, people call me an addict and a junkie and all these type of things. I'm like, fuck you.
In recovery.
Right. No, man, I'm a man who wanted to fucking win more than anything. But that's not what I want to talk about. I don't know why I was talking about that. What I want to talk about was I got up this morning. I was listening to a book called $100 Million Offers by Alex Hormozi. And I was walking on the treadmill and you were asleep and you told me you're going to sleep till 8 a.m. this morning. I think you did, probably 7:45, 8 o'clock, pretty close. But I was at the gym doing my thing like I normally do. I did a 45-minute walk before I did my workout. Just been feeling good. And I started reading this book, and the opening, what is that called? Nomination, or what's that called when you
write a prologue?
Book? No, when you write a book in honor of someone, or remember, whatever it is. Anyways, people probably think I'm dumb because I can't think of it. But there's like a part when you like,
yeah, the memorable page.
We did it for, in my book, I can't even think of the name of it, but anyways, what is it? No, it's not the preface. It's something, but in honor, and he was talking, dedication. There you go, fuck, it would come out eventually, right? I was reading the dedication, and he dedicated it to his wife, and he was sharing some of his story, and he was talking about when he was younger, and like, the story, I'll briefly touch the story. He had just sold $120,000 worth of sales, and the merchant processing company was going to hold on to his money, and he had $23,000 worth of payroll that he needed to make, and he only had $23,000 in his bank account, and he was stressed out. He didn't want to think about it, so he paid it, and then the pressure, he was 27 years old, and his heart palpitating, and they were in the movie theater on a Christmas Eve, and his life was falling apart, and his wife, you've probably seen me in this place before, right? Where I look at the TV, but I'm not really looking at the TV, mm-hmm. right? Like we're watching a movie, but I'm not really there. So I was feeling this emotion as I'm on this treadmill, and like he's talking about, she grabs his wrist and checks his pulse, and unwarranted just did it because she loves him, and she could feel his heart beating, and like we're gonna get through this. Right? She didn't even know what was going on, but they had a conversation later, and one of the things she said, where I'm going with this is, she said that she would live under a bridge with him as long as she had him. Like, whether that's true or not, you said something to me before like that as well. And like literally walking in the gym, and like I'm this tough guy in there, and like out of nowhere I fucking start crying. And I'm like, damn, like I really have that. Because it was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, because I got a lot of pressure going on. We got some shit going on that I'm trying to figure out. And like 2 weeks ago, you text me that you don't care if we lose everything. You don't want to, right? But like, as long as we have each other and as long as I don't quit to some degree, and as long as we're like, we could be outside foraging for our food, as long as we have each other, we're good to go. And that's like, that isn't the topic of this call. Or this podcast we're doing. I just wanted to talk about it today because like I felt it today. It's difficult at moments when you're doing stuff like me, how alone I feel, and like how great it is to be able to have you just like have my back, like as a ride or die, like the ride or die. That's what we want to talk about. And I thought about that, and like, man, it's like just the truth. This is my person, and I walk around now, even in our city where we live, and other people in the messages, they're like, man, we love your guys' relationship. We love, you guys are real. You could tell you're real. It's not fake. Other than you wore that shirt today. I got holes in my socks. But like, I wanted to touch base on that because it was really important to me this morning to feel that way. And I wanted to share it with people out there who don't have that, or guys who have that and they overlook that. Or women who deserve that and they're not getting it from the people that they want to get it from. Mm-hmm. I think that every single person out there deserves it, but you've got to show up and be a quality person first before you deserve it.
100%. Yeah.
That's my take on that.
I love that. Yeah. I think a lot of people might like ride or die is not, I mean, that's a term that we'll use just because you said it, but ride or die does not mean I'm sticking with you and you're cheating on me and you're being a piece of shit husband. Like, that is not the definition of ride or die. Like, me staying with you to do those things, that makes me an idiot. And that is not somebody that you should ride or die with. It's just truly two people that love unconditionally, accept wholly, are, you know, the most authentic versions, and just two people truly willingly and giving it all in everything in life. And good or bad, whatever comes out of it is like, hey, like truly, if we have each other, we're going to be good. That is ride or die to me.
For me personally, it's hard to accept that because I'm like, no, man, that's not good enough. Like I, in theory, I believe it and I get it, but I can't accept it. Like I have to provide.
And that actually makes me love you more for that. Like I already know that of you, but just because you have such a very like undefeatist attitude where you're like, I can't accept that. I know that of you, Kendra, but I can't accept that because I will never, like, you'll never allow yourself to be that.
No, I mean, I lose often, right? I lose often. And that's one of the things I think that the why people follow me is like, I'm vulnerable in front of everybody. Like, I try a bunch of fucking things. A lot of things don't work, but when they work well, right? So I have more loses, more losses than I do wins, but it seems like when I hit a win, they're just much bigger that outweighs the losses. Right now we're in a losing season. So I thank you for.
You don't have to thank me. I thank you because, well, like I said, being with somebody who cares so deeply about the well-being of their family, I feel like it's so rare. I'm not saying that there's not people out there that don't love or don't care about it, but you take it to such an extent that it's, failure is never an option. And I truly, truly, truly appreciate that. That doesn't mean that failure won't happen, right? Like this past couple of weeks, you had these like really scary health conditions where I was just like, geez, Louise, like, is the pressure even worth it if this is what it's going to take? Like, I would rather live under a bridge. I would rather forage for food. I would rather do all of that with no pressure, no nothing, and just have each other. If that means that I get to keep you and your health, you know, and that's where I was going with that.
Which I see on your side.
Yeah.
But for me, there is no option.
I know. Like, I know.
There is no option.
Yeah.
I assume die before have that.
I know.
Right. Which is probably the very thing you're attracted to, yet the very thing you're scared of. If we're being yeah, real, you know, failure is not an option, yet failure is
part of it. Yeah.
Like, it's not an option. It's actually, failure is the way.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I'm really learning. I was having a conversation with Ryan here, and we're trying to figure out, like, with the company and the brand and how far we've got off of stuff. And Kevin, us three are really trying to really racking our brains looking at it. And I'm like, dang, dude, this is the first time in my life. I actually sent Kevin this message this morning. I've never been this happy to lose, because now I'm uncovering what's going on, right? I couldn't find it externally, so I realized it's internally. It was the switch that pulled us. And as things reveal themselves, I'm able to make decisions that needed to be made a long time ago to clean this up. So here I am in a losing season. Even though I lost $100,000 last week, I'm like, I can actually come back from this stronger, because that's what I do. But at the same time, and I know this isn't the topic, we're going to get to the topic, I sent him another message that said, did I just build this for the past 3 years to get right back here to get the satisfaction of building it again? Because I like the way that
I wouldn't put it past you.
Right, without knowing it.
I know, like,
Did I subconsciously, because I enjoy the fucking process of building something from a burn, right? It's probably going to come up to the next level. Like, how do I avoid that trap? That's a whole other topic and conversation. But today, you want to talk about, I have some notes here, but you want to talk about alcohol and relationships, right? Tell me what you're thinking on that. I'm going to give you.
So I was specifically talking about being in a relationship where alcohol isn't even involved, because it's a non-issue. It's non-existent for me in my life. It's non-issue, non-existent for you. Having two people that thrive, have fun, can laugh, can have sex, can be authentic, can be vulnerable, all without alcohol. I feel like that's a true rarity in a lot of places. And I know a lot of people that have decided to, you know, give up alcohol, or maybe it, for them, like I said, it's a non-issue. Maybe they go to a wedding and they have a flute of champagne and that's it. But just what is it like to be in a relationship where alcohol is a non-issue? Like, I don't ever have to worry about you going out, coming home hammered, or making plans and being too hungover to do something, or and vice versa for me too.
To be real, I'm going to give it back to you, but to be real, man, I could get hungover after eating like a McDonald's cheeseburger though. So
staying up too late.
It's like, it's the same shit. Actually, so I like where you're saying that being in a relationship where alcohol is a non-issue, because you can count on the person, vice versa, because they're high value individuals, mm-hmm. And they do what they say they're going to do. But I want to actually tie it in with, like, what is it like to be in a, how did you get there? Because obviously I've never shown you the tendencies of alcohol, because I made some decisions to never drink, right? Like, you've never seen that side of me.
Never. Yeah.
Because
I've heard stories of the old you.
And that's where I want to go, because so we have something unique. It's not only available to us. There's a lot of men that come through my program that have actually decided to get divorces, and they're like, I want what you and Kendra have. Sure. And there's a lot of people that have hurt their significant. The men hurt the women,
yeah.
Or the women hurt the men, and there's fucking turmoil there. So a lot of questions they ask is like, I can't actually, like, I had a guy ask me this the other day, like, I can't resonate with you because I didn't get to build something new. Sure. Right? But I think that's bullshit.
I was going to say that too.
What's your thought?
I was going to say maybe there's hurt and there's some past tension, turmoil from whatever, but they can start, if they so choose, 100%. Like, this is how we're going to be moving forward.
Well, I always go a layer deeper. Like, you came into the relationship. When someone says that to me and they're like, I cheat on my wife. I drank too. We won't even say cheated. That's like the ultimate caveat that I think it's hard to come back from, mm-hmm. right? I think that's really just a deal breaker. Lying and cheating are the only two things that will fuck this relationship. If you lie to me or you cheat on me, fuck you.
Yep.
Right. And then vice versa. If I lie to you, cheating, then fuck me.
Yep.
Right. There's no reason to be together. I know that happens. There's great people out there that have done it. Just my standards for me is that I don't want that in my relationship. Yep. Now, that doesn't mean I don't help people put it like
back together.
I can't make their choice and decision for them. The reason that that's important to me is because I've been cheated on and I don't like the way it feels. So I never want to feel it again. And I'm sure and I never want to put that on you.
Same, yeah.
Right. So it's just like, it's just a non-negotiable. I hate being lied to. So I don't want to lie to you and you don't want to lie to me. So those are my standards. I only have really two of them. I mean, I have more, but like, those are like the two,
those are the deal
non-negotiables, yes, non-negotiable in the relationship. So let's just talk about, like, people making choices and like little lies. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about big lies, right? Like
financial cheating, stuff like that.
Like that type of stuff. But like these little lies of like, and they add up over time, but you know, no, I only had two drinks. The reality had 10.
Sure.
Right. and that happens a lot inside of it. Mm-hmm. But, or a guy who gambled away some of their money and didn't tell her, like you can come back from those type of things, right?
Sure.
By owning them. So why I want to touch base on that is because when you met me, and for these people that say like, I don't get the opportunity to build what you have, Mark, because I've got all this trauma. I carried more trauma than all these people, right? Or excuse me, more baggage. Trauma's not the right word. I probably had more trauma to you, but more baggage. Mm-hmm. I came with a fucking Mack truck.
You did.
15 trailers full of baggage and garbage and dead weight. And still, we're still cleaning that fucking garbage up. So for anyone to say they can't have that with their current wife, you were picking up my baggage anyway. Right, so talk about that.
Well, I didn't really, in the beginning, it was just so obvious that you had made a very distinctive choice to just be very open, be very vulnerable, be very vocal about all your past, everything in it. I mean, you laid it out like dirty laundry, and I either had the choice to be like, okay, I accept that, and we move forward from that, or I could have done what so many people had told me to do and like hightail it out of there. It was very easy for me to stay with you because even though, like I said, you aired it all out there and you were very just like, hey, this is my past. This is what I've been through. This is some of the money things that I'm bringing along. I got a child. Like, I didn't care about any of those things because of how well you treated me and how well you stuck to your word. From the beginning, time and time and time and time again, it could have been, hey, you know what? I'm going to meet you at the coffee shop at 6:30 a.m. because back then that's the dates that we could go on before I had to go to work and before you had to go to work. And boom, you would be there. There was never an excuse. There was never any, it was just, you were just a man of your word over and over and over again. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to hold this man in a life sentence for all the stupid decisions he made in his past life. I would hate that if someone did that to me. So I'm not going to do that to him. However, if there was ever a time in a relationship where you were lying or things weren't adding up or you weren't a man of your word, I would have been like, okay, listen, this isn't the relationship. But it was never the case, ever. And it was just, like I said, it was just so easy for me to put everything into the relationship when I saw you putting everything into the relationship straight from the beginning.
So basically, as a man out there, I want to make a paradigm shift for these guys. I want someone out there that wants that, right? Mm-hmm. They want their wife to trust them.
Yeah.
They want their wives to want them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel needed, right? Those are big deals.
Those are huge deals.
The guys that I deal with, they won't walk around and tell the world that, but I know that like emotionally, that's what they all want, right? They really, and you know, they don't want to beg for sex. They don't want to beg for a hand job. Like it's fucking, the reality is they want those things. What you just said right there was be a man of your word, but I want you to go in depth, like, how do they fix it? Like, what do you think a man needs to do to fix it? These are my four notes. I'll share them with you so you can kind of get reminded.
Well,
these are the paradigm shifts, I think. Only you can fix it
because
a woman wants to be led.
Yep.
So I want you to go on off of that.
Yep.
Cascading the future, right? They need to believe and know there's an anchor. There's a place where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You need to become the value, right? Be needed. You don't just get to accept to be needed. You don't just decide to be needed. You have to be fucking needed by creating the need.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part would be the man. And they're all kind of the same, but talk to me about that. Like only you can fix it. Women want to be led. Why do women want to be led?
Yeah, I think it's definitely intrinsic as a woman to look for somebody to protect and provide, even if you can do those things on your own, which is fantastic. But Even if I was the ultimate provider and I was like some just kick-ass breadwinning wife, I would still always want you to be better and do more than me.
Why?
I think I don't know. I think it's an intrinsic thing to
women. What does it do for you?
Oh my gosh. If I'll tell you what, if I didn't have those things, or if I didn't have you being better at me than everything, which I want in a husband, I want in a male, especially because I look to you for strength, for guidance. Like you're the ultimate, like you're the king of the family. If I'm doing things better than you, not that that's not awesome and that it doesn't work in some relationships, but for me, I want you to be the best at it. That's how I deep, like you're the man, you're the, sure. You know,
so I want you to go deeper, honey. Like, what is that? I know you like that and you feel it, but like, what does that make you feel like when you lay down? And I'm not better than you at everything. Like you're a better surfer than me, right? I'm way faster on running, but when you know that you're being led because you can count on me and you trust me and I hold myself accountable, it allows a place for you to experience. It allows you to experience a frame of life that most people don't get to experience. Talk about that.
It's so hard for me to like put it into words. I guess just because I do just live it and I don't ever like just sit and think about like, oh wow, I don't have to worry about Mark. Like I just don't have any worries. I'm not exactly sure how to articulate that. Yeah. But what it does for me, it just creates like this ultimate freedom in my life for me to do exactly what I need to do as your wife and as a mom and as a business partner in some ways. It's just ultimate freedom, I guess, is the
peace,
freedom. Yeah, it's all those.
That's what I wanted to drive home, right? So by me leading you, I allow you to, you said this over and over, the greatest gift I've given you is the ability for you to be your truest, most authentic self. Mm-hmm. And when you can connect with your most authentic self, man or woman, and I know this because I watch you, I'm just trying to help you out here, it allows you to operate from a place of peace and freedom.
Yeah.
You don't bring any outside negative energy in. You've got your own problems you got to deal with. You've got these kids you got to deal with. You got this household that you need to take care of, but you're allowed to actually be you. And when you're allowed to be you, then you desire more from me.
Yep.
Right? Then you desire more, more connection. You want more time, right? So there's dudes out there that don't get this, right? They like, they don't want to be led. Ryan said it on the way over here. We're talking about something that Keith said at one of the events that we did where they're watching a Netflix show and it was him and Jesse and they're watching a Netflix show or something. And somebody called and he got up and he took the call and then Jesse went to bed or something like that. And then he realized that what he'd done, it was from years ago, like the same type of actions he was doing, wasn't paying attention to her. He got up, he broke what was going on and wasn't paying attention to her, which made her fucking separate from him. I think the response was the woman would just give anything just to be heard. Mm-hmm. I don't just hear you. I feel you.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Literally feel you and emotionally feel you. Because I allow you to operate in a place that I think a woman should thrive.
You do.
And when I'm thinking about our relationship and I'm thinking about, I mean, it's been big right now. I mean, you don't even realize I've mentioned it a couple times. I built you to who you are right now and I'm still building you to where we're going.
100%.
Because I know I have a vision for me. Success. I get in my car every morning. I say, I will do everything in my fucking power to be successful. I'm obsessed with success. There's no, I don't want to admit it. Or I don't have a problem admitting it. And I don't want, and I know one of the fears back when we first started was you're like, I'm never good enough for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can come with him. I don't know if I can fulfill these needs. And I, as the man who led it, like, I'm like, dude, I fucking found something that makes me feel good. Just like crack did. Just like fucking meth did. Just like beer did. Only this thing doesn't hurt me back. It fucking loves me back. Mm-hmm. Right? So when I connected the pieces for me to figure out what I wanted to lead you, I realized I have to build you. I have to allow you to build yourself, like leading you, knowing that this is who you're going to become. The person you're going to become in 10 years from now, because we're going to have a complete different lifestyle, right? It's not that far away. We've been at it 5 years. 10 years from now, like you're still only 41 years old. You're my age in 10 years. The amount of wisdom, the amount of vacation, the amount of experiences, the amount of happiness, the amount of freedom, right? The amount of money you're going to have, you would not be prepared to have what's coming had I not allowed you to thrive and build and become who you are. You probably never even looked at it like that.
I have not. You articulated that way better than I ever could have, I felt like. But it makes perfect sense.
I know sometimes especially people that know me, your dad called me always working Mark, right? One of my struggles is like, I don't want to pass up today for tomorrow, but I also know that my tomorrow 10 years down the road is pretty fucking amazing. So how do I not pay attention to it's there and be here in that dichotomy of that pull back and forth? Mm-hmm. I fully plan and committed, right? I'm committed. I'm confident in it, right? I'm keeping the composure and I'm concentrated on driving forward to this place. And the reason that when I get there, I need you to be ready to be there, right? I share that. I don't know if that's going to land with anybody, but every man that listens to this thing, I need them to understand that to build a relationship, you need to build the relationship. I don't think a woman wants to just, I think the way I'm talking, I don't think I fucking know. Leadership isn't always with words, right? It's always done with action and it's also done with vision. Like I clearly have a vision for where you're going to go. I clearly know what you're going to look like, right? I mean, I don't know exactly. I know you're going to be fit. I know you're going to be tan. Right? I know you're going to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't want a wife that doesn't look good at 40, 45, 50 years old. I still want to have sex with you when I'm 90. Right? I'm going to have you pump up my little fuck because I won't be able to get a boner anymore. So like, I'll be stocked about Viagra and Pulse. No, but the point is like, I know what the life that I want to build. How does it make you feel when I say that?
It makes me feel empowered for sure.
I could see in your eyes something different just hit when I landed that on you.
Yeah, the entire conversation that you just laid out there was so powerful and truthful and so good that I am like, like I said, you articulated it way better than I ever could have put into words, but you nailed it. It's exciting for sure. And actually what I was thinking about as you were speaking is Ryan actually the other day made a video talking about, what did he say? Well, it doesn't matter exactly what he said, but I didn't become the best version of myself until I met you. And I'm still becoming the best version of me as we continue to grow together. And yeah, the entirety of our relationship is you're the leader, you're the visionary. But I am 110% willing to grow and be knowledgeable and accept whatever challenges that I have to overcome to go there with you. You know, and this is, I guess, is a message for the wives is allow your husband to lead because that is what he's called to do. That's what a man is called to do. That is what you've been called to do. And that's why your relationship is so amazing. But as a wife, you have to be willing to step up to the plate too. And I think that's so huge because we wouldn't be together right now if you were like, this is where we got to go. This is a vision. And I was just a slob. Or if
you became an anchor, I would have ditched you long.
Or if I became an anchor. Great. Yeah. It doesn't work
for me. It's either you're either fucking fuel or you're like, there's no, I'm a very on or off guy, right? You know that. I wanted to say this. So one of the things I've learned over the past 5 years, and I shared this on my alliance call with James Blatz. He was talking about his wife and some of the things I said, you don't even realize. And I didn't realize how my self-growth, how my leadership, how my vision, how my struggles actually added confidence to you. Right? For you to thrive. You clearly know how to, you don't know 100% how to do it. But if I say, Kendra, you need to go figure out how to start a business. I'm not going to help you. You're going to take everything I learned. What I've talked about, what I've told you, what I've been preaching for five years.
What I see every day.
What you see, go start a business.
I can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah.
Right? But not even further in the business. Like if something happens to me, you know what you need to do.
I do.
And
at least I have a pretty good idea.
Or the right people to figure out how to do it.
Yep.
Versus like when I met you, sure, you could have figured it out. And here, you're a woman that went to war. You're a kid, a girl, a woman that went to war and had these kids so you could figure life out. But you only figured the life out on a small town. Now you're stepping onto the world stage. Yep. Right? Now people are going to start knowing who you are when we go through the airports. Right? It's coming. Just like they do me. Just they're going to see us. They're going to recognize it. So as we step out on the world stage, because in 10 years from now, as I help liberate fucking millions and millions and millions of people or whatever happens, I write the book that smokes out bigger than the fucking big book from AA or whatever I decide to do with my life. Who knows? Maybe I do something completely different. Like it's going to put us in places and rooms and opportunities that you would have never been able either to get in or smart enough. Maybe not smart, that's the right word, but confident enough to sit in.
Well, I wouldn't even have known it existed.
Yeah.
Truth be told.
Yeah. So what else? Right. I wanted to touch base on a couple more things here. What does it mean to be, and we've talked about this, like become the value. What does that mean to you? Like, what value do I bring to you that makes you like, well, true, because the also on the other side, I might as well talk about this, right? Like, I'm not needed for a lot of shit around here. Like, I'm always working, I'm always building, I'm always grinding. And when you met me, I'm like, I realized that I'll pay for someone to clean my house. I'll pay for someone to put my Christmas lights up. Yeah. I'll pay for someone to clean my car. I'll pay for someone to mow my lawn. Like, my time is better used producing on a high level, not these fucking menial tasks. Yeah, you enjoy those, right? You enjoy those tasks, which is fine. So like, you put the Christmas lights up, you just took the grill out to the garbage, you know, like you do things like that. So when I want to talk about needed, it's not needed in a way of doing needed around the house.
No, that didn't even cross my mind.
I want you to talk about that.
Yeah. So what was the question so I can answer?
What is it? What's about, like, how do I bring value to you that makes, why do you need me?
The first thing that came to my head was.
You put a post out that about need on Valentine's Day.
But I talked about I need you, but not in the sense to do things for me. It's more of like, I need you like the air that I breathe type of deal. That's the value that you provide for me. Yeah. So I feel, I don't need you for, like I said, I don't need you for those things. I just need you for the love, the protection, the provide. It's more of like the feeling than it is actual things.
Right. I'm not talking about things. You need me to thrive because it's peace. It's happy. Like I want your words.
When you thrive, I thrive.
And in order for me to do that for you, then I have to be the fucking man.
It's so hard for me to answer these questions out loud and to like put it into words because, like I said, I just live it. I've never thought, and maybe that's a flaw that I should work on. Maybe I should sit inside of these things more often and I should be like, oh, wow. But you've done just such a good job of just being who you are and doing what you say you're going to do that I'm like, this is normal for me. This is normal life. So when you're asking me to put it into words.
That's because, and I did this on purpose.
Yeah.
Because I wanted the words not to come out.
Yeah.
Not because you're dumb. Not because I don't think you love me or like that. Because I needed the people that listen to this to understand what a fucking man does.
You literally do everything. And so I just automatically think that that's a standard. It is the standard in our relationship where I don't have any worries. Not in the relationship, not in our life, not with our kids, not in whatever. And so for me to try to articulate how I live my life or what that feels like or what it does, I am kind of at a loss for words. I'm like, it's just how I live. I don't, Mark takes care of this, and I can just kind of thrive over here. And I've never put thought into it.
Yeah, you don't thrive over here. Well, that's exactly what I wanted to happen on this episode. Yeah. Like I wanted people to see and feel. It's more what they see and what they feel versus what they hear. Everyone knows you love me. Everyone knows you're loved. Everyone knows your life is fucking great. But when I can bring you to a place where your life is unexplainable because you get to live in a place of just happiness and you're able to thrive and you're able to just be, yeah. Like I'm able to, I created a fucking space for you. I took a girl.
Yes.
How old were you when I met you? 26? I took a girl who's 26. 26 years old. Two kids. Working at a dentist's office, picking your face all the time because you were stressed out, trying to make your ends meet. You were making it happen. But I took you and I was the biggest fucking scumbag there could be. I went, you can go CCAP me right now. I put fucking millions of dollars upside down. I owed the government money. I built and burned multiple things. My very own family fucking hates my fucking guts. I stepped into this place. I said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to take these two little girls. Now we're going to grab my son and we're going to build this family. And here's where we're going to go. And I'm fully confident that on the way, I'm going to fuck up. But as I fuck up, I'm going to keep my composure because I want you to fucking thrive.
Even your fuck ups, I've never lost an ounce of sleep in worrying about if it's going to work out or not, just because I know the type of man that you are. Like, even if you came, how many times have you come home and you've been like, oh, fuck, I've lost X amount of dollars, where that might pucker somebody's butthole up a little bit. For me, I'm just like, okay, what can I do to help you? And I just never worry.
How are you gonna get it back? What are you going to do differently?
Yeah. And I don't even know those to think about those questions, because I just know you're going to fucking handle it. Like, I just trust you so much and have so much faith in your ability to handle things. But that's just how it is.
There's some people that'll watch this, and these are not the people we talk to, that think that I'm actually probably making you weaker by doing it that way.
I've never been stronger. Yeah, which is crazy. I've never been more sure. I've never been stronger. I've never been more confident. I've never been this best version of myself until I met you. So I don't know. Those people.
I'm just saying that because they're like, they're not going to be able to comprehend the fact that, or I shouldn't say that, they're just like, oh, he's taking it from her. I just know it. I can already see the comments fucking rattling up. Like, oh, he's a control freak. Right? Like, which I am. Right. But I don't control it. I don't control it in a way to hurt you. I control it in a way to give a fucking magnificent life, because I made a commitment to you, to the girls, to my kid, but ultimately to myself.
It's so funny. You are such a control freak, but not once have I ever felt controlled by you. I've felt more empowered and had more freedom, even though you're a massive control freak about exactly how things are going to go. And this, like, it's so funny how that works that way. Like I said, I've never thought about it.
Because I don't want to control the people. I don't want to control you or the kids. I want to control the environment that you guys live in. Mm-hmm. Right? Because one of my goals I write down every day, it's every fucking day, I got to get back and do it, put my headphones on and do it. But one of the goals I write down is I've given my family every opportunity possible. Right? So if my goal and my commitment is to give you all the opportunities and to build this massive, magnificent life, not just financially, but what is all the opportunities? The opportunities mean I get to allow you to grow. It means I get to actually take some of the wisdom and the reading and the countless hours of self-development. I get to pour them into the kids. It's not just things that I can provide. It's feelings, it's emotions, it's places, it's opportunities, it's experiences, right? So I'm not controlling everything, yet I'm controlling everything.
I love that about you. And I think by me allowing you to do that without ever trying to stop you, or you thrive also. When you thrive, I thrive, we thrive. It's just how it works.
I just was thinking when you were talking, like, I don't know what life would be like if you just got up every day and you went through the motions. Not you, but like, as a man, I'm putting myself in the shoes of a man that listens to this thing. I don't know what it's like to just get up and have life happen to you.
No, you fucking have every part of your day planned out with some sort of action result that you're trying to get out of it every day, all day long. It's probably exhausting for you, but that's just how you are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's exhausting, because I think what's more
exhausting. That's how you are, right?
Yeah, I think would be more exhausting is just losing and like and just doing nothing. It's boring to me. So the last thing I want to talk about before we jump off, we've been going for about 30, 40 minutes. What do you think give some advice to a dude who's listened to this thing. He's got a wife at home. He loves her. He stopped drinking because we talked about the relationship without alcohol. He's got the opportunity to build something magnificent with her alongside him, but he's afraid to actually connect with her because he doesn't know if he can trust himself. He doesn't know if he's going to be able to save the business because he made some stupid fucking decisions and mistakes. What would you tell that guy?
I would definitely say, do not hold yourself to a life sentence. You know, don't hold yourself to the life sentence. You messed up. You may be messed up more times than you can count, but your wife, you can make the choice right now as a man to step up, to be the leader, to be the man, and to completely change the entire future for not only yourself, but your family. And that's not something to take lightly. It is as simple as just doing exactly what you say you're going to do and having so much strength and conviction in what you're doing and what you're saying, that even if your wife right now doesn't trust you, or maybe she's skeptical about it, that she has, be so strong and be so confident and be so convicted in doing exactly what you say you're going to do, that she has no choice but to totally believe in the truth, this new man that you're becoming. Because that's all it takes. It's going to take consistency of just being the fucking man, doing exactly what you say you're going to do. And it really is that simple.
So what I do, what I'm going to add on is what I do, an enrollment call. I take the guys through the Comeback 7. Faith, Finances, Family, Fitness, Future Freedom Foundation. I'll say it one more time nice and slow because I had a guy tell me I talk too fast. Faith, Finances, Family, Fitness, Future Freedom and Foundation. Faith in our program simply means believing in something you can't see. And for some of you men right there, you can't see your relationship back in love with your wife. You need to believe it's possible. Piggyback off what you said. The second one is your finances. You need to go to work every day so that she fucking knows she's safe and secure. Number three, though, which is the most important F, which is your family, is a two-part game. The first one is your kids. You have the ability today to draw a line in the sand and never cross it again. Step up to the plate and truly lead these kids to freedom, to legacy, to create this life that they are. Like every time you choose drinking or choose lying or choose cheating or choose sedation mechanisms over them, you're basically telling them to fuck off. But when it comes to your wife, like really when it comes to your wife, you need to put that relationship and that marriage back on fire. Stop taking her for granted. Stop taking your failures for granted. Use them as opportunities. It's time to start loving her the way she wants to be loved, treat her the way she wants to be treated, date her the way she wants to be dated, fuck her the way she wants to be fucked. Literally put that thing on fire again. Because without her, she's the queen to the kingdom and you'd be fucked just like I would. Could I hold my own? Could I keep going? Absolutely. Do I want to? No. Do I want to take a step back or do I want to fucking thrive? I want to thrive. I want to live and I don't want to do it alone. And I know that as powerful businessmen out there, a lot of people are contemplating. One of the worst things that could happen to you as you're chasing money, and I love chasing money, is that you end up 65, 85, 70, 95 years old, and the only thing, you're so broke that all you have is your money. Because you overlooked the fact that your wife wanted to come with you. She's fucking the pool boy, completely left you alone, and you're a miserable old crotchety fuck. Right? Mm-hmm. I share that with you because that goal will never be there. I have countless comeback guys, ultra successful, that are going down that path because they won't grab a hold of their wife because they're too fucking proud to lead. And they think the only thing that makes them is the money. And I love money and I think everyone should go get it. But I ultimately think you shouldn't do it alone. So my call to action this week for man and woman who's listening to this thing, no matter where you're at in relationship or in your money game, is to spend some time looking at the future, finding out what your roles and responsibility are as one or the other, being able to see what you can commit to, see what type of triggers, what type of frustrations, what type of things you need to talk through so that you can find out how to build this path in unison, right? I think one of the things that we were teaching in the Alliance and the Comeback Couples is that to stand as one, right? That's really what this podcast is about is, you can see it in real live action. Like we are one. You're on my ride and die, ride or die, right? I rode on the mirror. We're Bonnie and Clyde. So that's all I got for today.
That was so great today.
That was a good one.
Yeah, even I felt inspired after this one. I was like, dang.
Well, that's it for today's episode of the Comeback Couples Podcast. My wife is inspired. I'm inspired with love and light. I'll see you next week.